Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And today our show is about a new medical system with sound and vibration. That's all. We're going to be talking about some headway and ideas on how to work with sound and vibration for a full range of different issues, right? So our intention is that we may have a or add on a system of vibration to our medical system that will make it actually way more effective and less dangerous and more fun, which is amazing to think, oh, medicine could be fun, actually. Isn't that amazing? So that's our intention. Before we get underway, though, let me tell you about some things happening here at the Institute. We do have an open house here at the school next Sunday, the 19th of January. It's from 1 to 6, and we do a lot of meditations with sound. We also talk about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we just get people really high. We put people on sound tables, sound lounges. You can play with the bass pod if you have any pain. Full range of things you can play with in our store here. So that's next Sunday from 1 to 6. Some other things. We also have a sound bath coming up on January 24th with a couple of my student graduates, some of my best graduates. We're doing a bath, sound bath. And I think that's a Friday night. And then we also have quite a few meetups that we're going to be doing in February and March and April. We're going to be doing a whole hypnagogic journey with this woman who's a master of it, that's written several books on it. And then another guy that's a master at working with brain entrainment. He's actually a brain researcher using EEG, but he's come up with very specific meditations that will take you really deep. And then we have some other sound baths that we'll be doing as well. So you'll be able to see those on our website at soundhealingcenter.com. We also have our classes coming up January 24th. We've got the next semester for the Sound Healing and Therapy Certificate Program here at the Institute. That's Monday through Wednesday nights and some weekends for 3.5 months. And we've got 12 instructors. And it's all about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So you get a wide range of perspective with all the different instructors as well. And it's also about how to set up your own practice and skills and techniques so you can actually do sound healing as a practice or do sound baths if you want. We have that same program online, and you could actually start this Tuesday or the following Tuesday as well. And works really well if you can't make it out. It's actually incredibly well. Works incredibly well. We practice with the voice online. We do meditations. Then you get to practice with people at home. And it's really effective. We also do have our summer intensive coming up in June. It begins June 2nd for 10 days, and then August or the end of July for 10 days as well. And that's 10 to 9:30 every day. And so, yeah, then you get to play with all of our toys that we have in our store here. And so that's really, really cool. You can even stay at the Institute as well. So then both of those programs go into the degree program, although if you have any inclination to take the degree, you're going to have to sign up within the next week or two because our window for having our last degree program is closing. After 2 weeks, we won't be able to sign people up for the degree program anymore because we're not going to be offering it anymore. We'll be offering our certificate program, but not the associate degree. So if you want to sign up, you can let me know. You can see all this information at soundhealingcenter.com, including the recording classes, which are completely separate from the sound healing program. We actually have a certificate program in audio recording and production where you learn how to record, mix, and produce and create music that's really effective, that affects people physically, mentally, emotionally. We even show you how to create binaural beats and tune it to the music and create music based on intentions. We even have a music theory section as well. And we have that at the Institute starting January 22nd for 3.5 months or online as well. And it works online really well because you can see our screen on Zoom and hear what I'm mixing. That's a six-month program. Like the certificate in sound healing is 6 months also online, whereas 3.5 months here. So those are our classes. We also have the therapy center where we can find your home note and give you a CD and tune to you, and also give you a CD tuned to you for each of the brainwave states. So we can tune a CD to you for delta, for sleep, for theta, for creativity, for alpha, for being present and learning, and for beta, for being able to think. It's really good for getting over ADD. We also have voice analysis where you can actually find out what's wrong with you, what's missing in your voice, and give you a CD of the missing notes. We also have chakra treatments. We do a full range of treatments here at the Institute. The first three we do it online, but we also do a combo treatment here at the Institute and do massage on the sound table with a massage practitioner. And then we have our store where we have all types of crystal bowls, alchemy bowls, Tibetan bowls. We have some really nice big Tibetan bowls that are profoundly effective on the body. And then we also have all types of other instruments and many technologies. We've got the sound table, sound lounge, bass pod, but we have a sound vest that are really effective for getting a person relaxed or getting over anything neurological or muscular. Also very good for PTSD. We also have my book, which is the number one selling book in the world in sound healing. I also have the number one selling books in the world in audio recording as well. And we also have videos, educational videos as well. And so that's the store. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. The store, if you want to go direct, is soundoflove.com. If you want to go direct to the therapy center, it's soundtherapycenter.com. We also have our research foundation where we're starting to work on multiple issues that we're going to be talking about today, and that's at soundhealingresearchfoundation.org or .com. And we also have about 300 research papers on there that you can check out as well. And also even treatment plans for different issues as well. Oh, one other site that's just about to be ready, and that is medicalsoundassociation.com, where we're working with some doctors and setting up treatment plans for every medical issue you could imagine, right? Or at least how we're going to research and figure out what the treatment plan will be, because we don't have a huge amount of treatment plans yet, right? This is really about how it's going to be researched. So that will be the new medicine. Okay. Again, you can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com, or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, or call me, 415-777-2486. Wow. So with the Medical Sound Association, I've really been thinking and getting downloads on how to set up a new system for using sound and vibration. On the site, what we're doing is we're listing every medical issue, and then we're coming up with guidelines on how to research it, or guidelines on the way we think sound and vibration may be used. Now, what we're talking about is not just frequency. we're talking about could be a pure frequency. It could be a many frequencies. It could be the music. Could be different musical rhythms. Could be different melodies, and not as well as intention. So we're talking about multiple ways to approach a issue, not just what frequency would be good, but you know how many frequencies. Maybe, I mean, with Anthony Holland, he actually found that two frequencies together, and one, the second frequency is like 11th harmonic, which would be 11 times the first frequency, and then the first frequency was between 100 hertz and 300,000 hertz to break up cancer, right? So it wasn't one frequency. And he was getting about 60% effectiveness for breaking up the cancer. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe it's three frequencies that we need. Maybe four, maybe seven frequencies, right? And I bet you if we get it right, we could get 100% effectiveness breaking up that cancer. Or maybe we need a certain musical flow to run energy through the system that that cell is in, right? So maybe if that cell is in the muscular system, we need to run energy or a song through that system that will help break up that wily part of the flow, that one frequency within the flow, right? So there's many possibilities, and if we work at all levels, it will be much better. But the other thing we're doing is looking for safety guidelines. If we're going to be working with people in the hospital or people that are really sick, we really got to know, you know, if it's going to hurt people. And this is critical. I mean, it's the first thing the hospitals want to know anyway, you know, for liability, right? So we can, and it's not that hard to figure out, you know. I mean, we just look at, you know, what are the safety guidelines already for working with people? I mean, what do you really have to watch out for when somebody's just had surgery? You know, I mean, some of it's obvious. If you've got a broken bone, we're not going to put sound and vibration right on the bone, at least for like a week or so. Otherwise, it could irritate it, right? So there's things like that. You know, if someone's having a panic attack, you got to be really, really careful. I mean, even if someone is about to pass, you know, you got to be really careful because they're really fragile. Anytime anybody's really fragile, you just got to be really careful. So that's going to be a huge part of this site. But here's the other part. You know, when you talk to doctors, I can make pretty good headway with them because, I mean, sometimes they will say, well, where's the clinical research? And I'm like, calm down, right? There is no clinical, well, there is a lot of clinical research, but nothing like the pharmaceutical companies, right? Because they're spending sometimes as much as $500 million on a research project. And there's not like huge amounts of money to be made. So we're never going to be able to compete with the level of research that's going on with the pharmaceutical companies. But then I'll say, well, you know, it's all about consistent, stable vibrations. When the body is healthy, every single cell is vibrating consistently at its own resonant frequency. And when it's not, it's vibrating chaotically, right? It's like fibrillation. And they totally get it, right? And then I say, I've told some doctors, well, we did research with the Sound Lounge and at St. Mary's Hospital in Stockton with 25 people, and we found that we did intake forms before and after and measured their or had them tell us their symptoms on a scale of 1 to 10, right, before and after. And we went on average from an 8 down to a 2. With the base pod, which is this little cube that vibrates like a subwoofer, you can put it right on the body, and we have specific frequencies for pain or muscles or nerves or tendons. We did 25 people, and out of those 25 people, we went from 8.8 down to a 1. These are various types of issues, so it's not just one issue, but that's unheard of, right? That is like profound changes, dramatic in getting rid of pain and helping the different issues. And of course, then we need to know over time as well. But what we're doing on the website, Medical Sound Association, is setting up the actual form, intake form and outtake form for any practitioner to fill out before and after they do a treatment on someone, right? So now, after a few years, we might have data for depression where we've had 10,000 treatments, or maybe it might even take 10 years. We have 10,000 forms that have been filled out. And we go, okay, what is it going? And we see, oh, it's going from an 8 to 2.5 or whatever, right? But we'll see dramatic results. And doctors and the mainstream totally accept this, right? It's not the best clinical research, but it's acceptable data that shows that it's worth researching more because we're getting serious results. I mean, serious results. I mean, most pharmaceuticals, on average, I've seen data of pharmaceutical companies. We had one of our students that used to work for a pharmaceutical company, and they have data on how effective the pharmaceuticals are for all types of issues, a whole chart, right? And it was on average 20% effective. On average, some of it was really high, of like 30% effective. It's crazy. It's crazy. And we're talking going from 8.8 to a 1. I mean, that's like 80% effective. That's like amazing, right? I've talked to people like, well, you're kidding. You're kidding. In the medical field, you're getting those types of results, right? That's one way that will help get it into the mainstream, is getting that data. And then we can start researching exactly what frequencies, exactly what combinations of frequencies, exactly what musical flows, which means what melodies and rhythms are best for every single issue there is. It's happening. And it's what's so cool about it is the doctors are into it. Every time I talk to doctors, I've been doing workshops for doctors here at the school, and they're totally into it, and they totally are listening, and it's really, really heartening, right, to see that we could change this field. Again, I think I mentioned this, one of my friends, his guide said that within 10 years, sound will be completely embedded in the medical side of hospitals, not just the integrated therapy side where it is now big time already, right? So that's really heartening. And then this psychic I talked to, for what it's worth, she said that in 20 years, not only will it be embedded, but everybody will accept it in 20 years. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. 20 years to have a drastic change in our medical system. That's not much time at all to have such a drastic change. It's really heartening and really, really amazing. Only other parts to get around the pharmaceutical companies, because it's going to take a little. I mean, what's doing it is the doctors are behind it, and it's really helped that the doctors are really wondering what to do with the opioid crisis, right? So that's really helped. And so they're getting behind it, and they are driving it, right? Still a ways to go, but we are definitely on the way. It's even 5 years ago, it was kind of like a dream, right? Oh my God, imagine that without getting killed, right? Now it's actually happening. And just even having, I mean, every hospital in the Bay Area of San Francisco including all major hospitals in the country, are using sound healing in the integrated therapy department. You know, people doing sound baths, sometimes tuning forks, whether it's crystal bowls or gongs or voice. I know lots of people working in hospital. But so that's going to help move it over to the medical side, is because it's now become so accepted in the integrated therapy side. So now we can get more scientific, right? So the deal is, how do we approach it, right? One way to approach it that's a really good way to start, other than just getting very detailed on exactly what frequency, which is where we're headed, and what combination of frequencies, what musical flow. Really, the way to begin is whether an issue needs activation or calming. In my classes and in my book, I categorize all sounds based on whether they are activating or calming. It's based on the harmonics in the sound. When a sound has harmonics that create a chord that is dissonant, it's a little edgy, like a gong, or like a bagpipes, or like a scream, right? Or anything with a reed in it, like clarinet, saxophone, or even the harmonium. Those are a little more edgy. Versus sounds that have a harmonic structure where the frequencies of the harmonics in the sound create a beautiful chord. And those sounds are warmer, like the harp or the wood drum where you play the actual wood, the tongue drum, right? Or a nylon string guitar, classical guitar. Those are very warm sounds. With the voice, it's more instead of right? And so this is a big difference. And first of all, you've got to be careful. If you're working with someone that's got panic attacks, you can't be using a gong or bagpipes or anything really activating, because they're really fragile, right? Or anybody that's got fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, anybody that's just out of the hospital or in the hospital, right? You got to be really careful. So we no gongs in the hospital, right? So based on this, since we have a good map of the structure of harmonic structure of sounds and whether they're activating or calming, which is the basis of how you choose sounds in a session, well, we can then now start looking at every medical issue and discern whether it needs activation or calming, right? Well, I was just thinking, actually, if we could pull up the song Calm, let's see if I got it. Calm Mind. It might be good to play that one. So let me know when you find that one, Calm Mind. Okay. So for anxiety, looks like I already found it. Okay. So for anxiety, we really want something really calming, right? We don't want activation at all, right? Or for panic attacks. And so that means sounds that are really warm. So this song that we've got ready now, Calm Mind, is actually my sleep CD. It's a shorter version of my sleep CD, which is 60 minutes. And so let's listen to Calm Mind, because this is warm, warm, and warmer. Slow rhythms, slow melodies. I mean, every single thing about it is about calming. And this has been, actually I had this one woman just recently who has panic attacks and had to go to the hospital. And over the last year, she said this song on the Sound Lounge saved her life big time. So check this out. It's also good for sleep. Calm mind. Okay. Notice the warmth. Thank you. Now, if someone's depressed, it's the exact opposite. If you were to play that song for someone that's depressed, they may never get out of bed, right? So we want activation when people are depressed. But if you just play something really activating when someone's depressed, they'll probably say, get the hell out of here. Leave me alone. That's annoying. So what you need to do for depression is meet them where they're at and then slowly change it to activation. So this next song, that's exactly what we do. Over 10 minutes, we actually start depressed, right? And then we slowly, ever so slowly, so people don't even know what happened, we change it to activation and then bring in some nature sounds. So check out this song for depression called Low Mood, right? This is a song that we actually, Massachusetts General Hospital actually paid for us to create this song for the integrative therapy department there for depression. Okay, check this out. Imagine going to the hospital for depression, or not even going, just calling them up, having them send you, email you a song with certain frequencies embedded. You could even hook up electrodes to your brain. Now it's like gone. Oh my God, right? It's a new world coming up. When we look at grief, grief is like the basis of many things. Depends on where the person is at in the process. If someone is not grieving, then we want to do calming. Actually, what we want to do is even more so, we want to do sadness. I was just thinking earlier, to find the saddest thing you could come up with. There's sad music, but you could even have, you know, I mean, it's almost like crying. When I do treatments on people that are not feeling anything, that cannot grieve or feeling nothing, then I'm bringing them, what I do is I imagine how sad I would be if someone had died or whatever had gone on for them. So I go into the sadness and I entrain them into that sadness while I'm doing the sound. Because if someone's not feeling, you've got to get them sad so that they're feeling it. Unless they've gone to a complete high state of consciousness and have transcended it. But most people can't do that. But then there's the other part, other stage of grief, where someone's crying all the time. I had someone in my online class, and I said, they said that they actually, their husband had died, and they were crying every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And I said, well, how long ago did he die? And she said, 2 years ago. I'm like, whoa, you got grieving down. It's time to move to equanimity, which would be gratitude. I always believe that gratitude is the antidote to grief. Instead of, oh my God, it's a bummer, they're gone. Instead, thank you for that bright light on the timeline of my life. So I think of gratitude as a balance of activating and calming. It's the nice, it's actually one of the best balances, right? Totally grateful, and it's really good for your body. Whereas extended grief can be really kind of draining, right? Can even make you sick, right? But I mean, grief for a short time where you're not fighting it is natural. Right, but grief over a long period of time, that's like, whoa, right? For ADD, it's really about consistency, which is similar to calming, getting a consistent rhythm in the brain so that the brain can now focus instead of being scattered, right? And it happens to be a faster rhythm because when you can't think, it's normally because you can't get into the fast rhythm of beta, right? So it's a matter of entraining that person into a stable, consistent vibration that is tuned to them. Autism is really a big difference. It's not a big difference, but there's a difference depending on how high on the spectrum they are. People that are really high on the spectrum can't handle, often there's so many different types, but they can't handle too much stimulus or any stimulus. In fact, sometimes they can't even handle being approached. So if they're that sensitive, especially to any stimulus, whether it's sound or light or anything, then we totally have to start with serious calming, right? Even sneaking it in. What we're doing with the Autism Center in Oakland is actually putting sound pillows on the floor in the meditation room where they go for a few times a day. And if they gravitate to the sound pillow, then we see if they want to go on the sound lounge, right? Otherwise, autism is all about connection. Well, it's actually all about connection anyway. To try to do sounds, nonverbal sounds, that are in reaction to their where they're at. So that they hopefully over a period of time, they see that you are actually matching where they're at, and now there's a connection, right? If they're lower on the spectrum, you know, actually a full range of music. I know someone that works with kids and teaches kids with autism yoga, and she does sound, and they actually love it. In fact, they love the sound more than the yoga. So when they're not high on the spectrum, it can often, sound can be like the best portal to get in of all. Now, with dementia, there's also different stages. In the beginning, it's all about activation. The more, you know, gongs and rhythms and drumming and movement and anything to get the energy flowing and the blood flowing in the brain. However, in later stages of dementia, they are often irritable. Not everyone, but they can be very irritable, which means you have to approach them with calming. Now, I mean, it's well known to play music that they loved when they were younger can wake people up with Alzheimer's. Also, one of our CDs, the Cymatic CD called Brain, has been one of our students said her mom would wake up every time she would play that CD. Right? So when we look at different diseases, you know, like cancer, well, my first inclination is we don't need calming, although calming could be good to bring people to a place of peace. But for the cancer itself, we need activating sounds that would break up the cancer. So anything bad, you know, I mean, it's you can think of it this way. If we're going to focus on the breaking up something, you need activation normally. But if you're focusing on returning it to its normal vibration before that issue was there or before the cancer was there, then you're doing calming where you're bringing it back to its natural peaceful state, its natural resonant frequency, its own natural vibration, right? So that's, so it depends on which way you want to go in a lot of issues. I mean, again, if you've got like a broken bone, I mean, we're not going to be doing activating vibrations physically on the bone. Although, actually, after we do the calming, right after the break, actually, there could be that activating frequencies could actually create more bone growth. So it's really, it could totally need activation once you get over the, you know, the first week or so where, I mean, goodness, you play any physical vibration around a broken bone, you know, it could totally irritate it. You know, so you really got to be careful with that. So now we're looking at it from activation versus calming. Now, but a lot of this is physical and emotional, and mental could be, you could go either way. You know, it's often about consistent, stable vibrations at different brainwave states. But, you know, you could also activate love. you could activate a connection to source, which could be really calming. But maybe it takes activation to actually get there. I hadn't thought about this too much. It's interesting. Sometimes, often if we just get very calm and peaceful, that can be a portal to spirit or to source or an opening to higher energies. So often it is calming, but sometimes actually people get ecstatic and they get really high. It's like when we do kirtan, we get really ecstatic and we get really high. Or, you know, I guess the extreme case is whirling dervishes, right? Where they're just doing total activation to get like totally blissed out. Or even, you know, breath work. Breath work is like totally activating. And you can get really high with very activating breath work, right? So, you know, but ultimately we could just do love. We could just do love. I just got this vision of the love room at the hospital. Maybe all you need is love, right? Let's go ahead and play Unconditional Love and tune in to just the energy of love to heal whatever you have going on or anybody on the planet has going on. This is Unconditional Love. Thank you. Just imagine something like that as the new medicine. It's coming, where no one gets hurt by the medicine, where it's effective and even fun. Hold that energy so we can manifest it just forever, at least through the weekend, weeks and months ahead, but just forever. Thanks for listening and take care.